They were appointed by the provincial government.
And do they have any background in the
law? There are qualifications set out in the Act, and they're kind of vague qualifications, right? I don't have them with me. There are certain people who can't sit, such as employees of the ministry or people who have been employed for the minister for 6 months, or if you are presently receiving either the EA, income assistance provisions, or the disability benefits, then you cannot sit on the tribunals.
Before they changed the system, you used to be able to client choose
right.
Their panel member, the ministry would choose theirs. How does it work now? Will you know before you walk into the tribunal who will be on the panel?
You may not. I think I would ask if it's possible for me to know who the members of the tribunal are. They may or may not tell you. I certainly would ask.
Because, like,
there's a rostrum.
No,
it's in each community, right? Okay, it's in each community. And I you will get a notice, and I would phone them up and ask them, could you tell me who the exact members of the tribunal will be? And either they're going to tell you or they're not. But there's nothing wrong with asking. But I think you're a really good advocate, unless there's a question of bias, you just can't sort of say, well, I don't like him or her, as the case may be. And what you have to do is find out a little background. You don't phone up the ministry's office and give me the background about these people, but I don't see anything wrong without, they live in the community, you finding out a little bit about them.
That was not hard for me.
Yeah, right. I think with the changes, they're going to be, how should I put this in diplomatic language, less favorable to the client. Okay. Now, the most important thing when you do administrative tribunal work is that you have to prepare the client for the hearing. Okay? And what do you think preparation of the client for the hearing means? Any ideas? Well, first of all, there's a bias there. Clean him or her up, okay? That's it. Huh? That's right. And the other thing is, tell the client what your theory or theme for the case is. It's nice for the client to know what it is. And you're going to have to prepare the client. You will be asking the client questions. And I have five S's, I think, or is it four? I can't remember. About asking clients questions at administrative hearings. The first one is simple. Ask simple questions. Secondly, ask short questions. Try as much as to ask specific questions. What do I mean by specific? Simple and short, you can understand. Specific questions. What is your name? Okay. That's a specific question. What is not a specific question? When did your life start going downhill? Okay. Okay. The other is ask your questions in a systematic order. The reason I say systematic is that's another S and it makes it easier to understand. But what I'm really saying is chronological order. Ask your questions in chronological order. Tr- try to anticipate what questions, if you were with the ministry or if you were sitting on the tribunal, what sort of questions they would ask. Because usually it's better for you to ask them. You go over the story with the client. You ask these simple questions and see how the client is going to answer them. You don't want the client memorizing answers. You want the client to tell the truth and tell them in their own words. But clients kind of get nervous on the stand, which is nervous. So I always tell the client, look, there are four or five, usually in hearings, there's only four or five crucial questions to ask. And those are the questions you should concentrate on so you know exactly what the client is going to ask. But do tell the client there will be questions from the other side and from the tribunal. I was involved in a court case once and I prepared the client, but I had forgot to tell the client that the judge may ask some questions. I don't know, the client was pretty good. He told the judge his side of the story, and there was a cross-examination, and he held out pretty well, and it went pretty well. There was a little objection to some hearsay evidence. And then after this was all finished, the judge says, well, I have some questions. And so he asked my client a question. My client turned to the judge and says, I'm not going to tell you the answer. And I just about fell through the floor, right? And I thought, oh, I didn't tell him the judge may ask some questions. It doesn't usually happen, but oh, I'm going to get sued for negligence and all the rest. And so the judge looked at him and said, well, why aren't you going to answer the question? He says, well, Judge, the only way I can answer that question is to tell you what someone else told me, and you told me I can't do that, so I'm not going to answer the question. It was a completely honest answer, you see. And at that point, the client won the case. So always tell the client to tell the truth, right? And hopefully something like that will happen to you. Sometimes, of course, they say things that you have no idea about or whatsoever. Remember that your clients, when you're preparing a client to give their evidence, it's very important to be aware of inconsistencies in what the client says and what the document says, and see if you can explain those to them. One of the problems I had as an advocate at the beginning of my thing is I didn't know what questions, how to phrase questions, what was a good way to present your case. But and I'm sure many of you just don't know how to ask good questions. Is it like Law and Order? Is it different? And so I have a website for you. If you go to the Vancouver Rape Relief website. Vancouver Rape Relief has been involved in a human rights complaint. They were named respondents or the defendants in a human rights complaint involving Kimberly Nixon. It's a transgender issue. And on their website, they have in, I think it's PDF format, the whole transcripts of about 20 days of hearing in front of the Human Rights Tribunal, examination and cross-examination by some Barb Finley, a very fine lawyer, and Victoria Gray, who used to be a fine lawyer and now is a fine judge, and you will see very good skilled examination in chief, that is asking the questions to the witness, and cross-examination of it. And if you have an idea, and if you look at that, and I downloaded it into my computer because trouble with websites. You go one day and they're gone the next. And that'll give you an idea of what good questions and good cross-examination is like. Well, you know, you do a search of Vancouver Weight Relief, and then you have to, there's a thing that pops up. You know how they have these kind of roving things that that come up? Look for the one about the human rights thing. Click into that, and it'll show, it'll, okay. But it's a transcripts, I think it's about 20 or 21 days, and no matter which side of that issue you're on, certainly, but the lawyers are very good at it in terms of their examination and cross-examination, and it'll give you an idea. And which, yes?
You can finish your sentence.
Okay.
Well, I've got two questions more around the physical setup. Mm-hmm.
Well, usually for administrative tribunals, it's like three people sitting up there, and on one side is the client, and the other side is the ministry, right? Now, which is left and right, it doesn't really matter too much with administrative tribunals. It matters in court, and I can never get it straight after 30 years of practice. I'm always mixed up. So sometimes if there's a registrar to the tribunal, you can phone him or her up and ask them. But you, yes?
Then who, when there's three people sitting there, who should you actually talk to? Do you roll your eyes to all of them equally?
Your client should be looking, focusing on them. And then focusing on the three of them and moving back and forth, okay? Some tribunals require the client to come out and give their evidence, you know, in a chair, like a courtroom setting. Others just allow them to stay there. Some tribunals put the people under oath. Some tribunals don't. The old welfare tribunals never did.
Are you sitting or standing?
Some tribunals vary. Okay? That's why I suggest to you, and with this new employment appeal tribunal, it varies from area to area and tribunal because they haven't set up a proposal. That's why I suggest, if you're a new advocate, one of the best things you can do is ask an existing advocate whether you can help that person with a case. And then you can get the nuances to all these things. Cross-examination in administrative tribunals is not as fierce, you know, as law and order, right? But questions will be asked for your client. And, of course, I have a checklist in the material I gave you. You don't want your client getting angry, right? Actually, the transcript was the last thing I had on here. Make sure, try to understand whether there's going to be a transcript or not, and have that so you know that in case you want to do an appeal.